Denodo Data Bytes. Hi everyone, welcome to our latest episode on Denodo Data Bytes. I'm your host Neha, and let's welcome our guest this week, Chris Walters, who is a senior sales engineer here at Denodo. Chris has over 25 years of experience in software development and enterprise architecture with a heavy emphasis on data management and data-driven solutions. A warm welcome to you, Chris. We are looking forward to welcome you on the show today. Before we begin today's discussion about the common misperceptions about data virtualization, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your experience in tech, and about your role at Denodo in general?
Hello, Neha, and hello, everyone. I'm Chris Walters. I'm from a small town called Clarksonville in the parish of St. Anne, Jamaica. I migrated to Houston, Texas several decades ago. Educationally, I studied computer science at the University of Texas in Austin. I then did an MBA at Houston Baptist University. Professionally, I worked as a software developer and software architect doing Java and C++ development, doing data management solutions within the oil and gas industry. If you are a professional and you work in the city of Houston, Texas, you're going to engage in the oil and gas industry. So I did that for several years. Before joining Denodo about 7 years ago as a pre-sales engineer, which I like to describe as being a nerd with a personality, meaning I have to know my stuff technically, but I also have to be engaging and interact with lots of customers as they explore Denodo. So my primary responsibilities here at Denodo are guiding prospective customers through the technical aspects of evaluating Denodo. So that involves doing a lot of product demonstrations, leading proofs of concepts, evangelizing, and just essentially selling customers on an innovative new way to manage their large volume of data assets. So that's a quick background on me.
Thank you so much, Chris. Wonderful to hear. So 7 years with Denodo, that's really exciting. Jumping into our conversation today then. So my first question for you is, why are there misperceptions surrounding the data virtualization concept? And can you mention some common misperceptions that pre-sales engineers have to tackle for?
Yes. So I would say, so in my 7 years with Denodo and just kind of evaluating the way the industry has evolved, I'd say the misconceptions begin with just the word virtualization. I don't know if it's my accent or what, but when I say virtualization, a lot of people hear visualization. And so they're thinking that we're competing, you know, with the Tableaus and the Power BIs of the world when we're absolutely not. Next one they understand that is virtualization. They think server virtualization, you know, where you can have one physical machine represents dozens of different virtual machines. And so once we kind of get past that hurdle, then I explain that data virtualization is a means of integrating data logically or virtually that lives in different physical sources. And so once I explain that, then the misconceptions come about, well, there's no way that will work, because if it does what you say it does, integrating data without having to physically move the data, then everybody would be doing things this way. And so I always say, you're exactly right. Everybody should be doing it this way. And so you're kind of late to the party. And once I explain that, then they kind of go into exactly how it works. That helps to turn on light bulbs in their mind of exactly how this can help bring about solutions to the issues that they face.
Great. Yeah, that's very true. I agree with you, though. So anytime I say data virtualization, the first thing people ask me, hey, is it data visualization? So that's a good one. So I guess it's a good thing that we're doing this episode today. So my next question for you is it often mistaken that data virtualization is synonymous with data federation? Can you explain the difference between data virtualization and data federation and why this misperception exists?
Yeah, this is also one that I hear quite frequently. And that's because, you know, data federation is a subset of data virtualization. You know, when you're retrieving data from disparate sources, that is federation. But where data virtualization goes beyond just federation is we enable creating a logical or virtual semantic data model that sits on top of those different sources of data. So I may have a customer, for example, I have customer data. Some is in an Oracle or SQL Server database, additional customer data in Salesforce, some in SAP. So now I can logically model an entity called a customer, which can then be consumed by dashboards, reporting tools, or, you know, web apps or mobile apps. And so now when that app sends a query to Denodo's virtual model, at that point, you know, using the technical metadata and doing it in a very performant manner, Denodo goes to those different sources and retrieves that data. So at that point, it's federation, but data virtualization goes a few steps beyond just federation. You know, make sure it's accessed in a performant manner and in a secure manner. So it's a federation on steroids, if you will.
So moving forward with that conversation, another common misperception that we usually hear is that implementing data virtualization introduces additional workload on operational systems. So can you clarify a little bit more about this?
This is definitely one that I hear a lot. For one, when I explain that the way that Denoda works is we aim to push down as much processing to the data sources as possible. From maximizing performance, we want to push down as much as possible to the data source, minimize how much data is transferred across the network, and minimize what's done within the virtual layer. When I explain that, a lot of people hear, okay, so that's just going to bog down my system with a lot of queries. And so as, you know, a sales director that I used to work with a lot always says, you know, the laws of physics still apply. The data still has to be queried somewhere. But what's important to understand is even though we push down processing to the data sources, there are guardrails that you can put around that so it doesn't become burdensome on those systems. For example, there are various caching options which are available where you're, you know, balancing your need for real-time data with impact on that system. You may have a particular data set where it's okay if it's an hour behind. So I want to set a cache for that particular entity where within that 60-minute window, the data comes from the cache. So I'm not impacting the source system. But on that 61st minute, then it goes to the source. So you can manage it. There's also a component called a resource manager, which enables you to throttle access to data sources. So that essentially enables you to define plans and rules. A plan is some sort of limiting, restricting functionality, like a query can only take 10 seconds, no longer than 10 seconds, or it can only return 10,000 rows of data. And then you also define rules. And the rule says under which condition do you activate this plan? So a rule may be if it's being queried at a certain time of the day, where you know it's going to be very busy on the system, or by users belong to a particular group, then apply this plan. So though we push down processing to the underlying data sources, there are many things that Denoda does in order to make sure that that's not burdensome on the underlying systems.
So last but not the least, misperception, another common one, is that data virtualization always needs to transfer large data volumes over the network, or that data virtualization must always retrieve all the data in real time. So can you explain this a little bit more?
Sure. And I would say this is probably the one that I hear the most. And the more technically inclined someone is, the more likely they are to understand this question. More likely for them to have this misperception. And so, because they know the challenges, if you have millions of rows of data that reside in different systems, and you're saying you can integrate it in real time, what they're thinking in their mind is, okay, at that point, now we need to transfer millions of rows of data across networks, and that's going to be take forever. And that's why they've typically done things the way they've done it, which is to ETL, copy, duplicate data into one source, and then do the process in there. So if the typical federation approach would do that, and so, you know, they would transfer all that data across networks. So the way that I best answer this when it comes up is to give an example. And so in this example, let's say I have 1 billion sales transactions in one source, 10 million customers in another source, 1,000 products in another source. And I need to get total sales by city for a particular product line over the past 6 months. What your typical federation tool would do is they would have to transfer that billion plus those 10 million plus those 1,000 products across the network, then combine, then aggregate it. Doing things that way is going to take hours. It's just not possible to do that in an effective manner. So what Denoda does in that scenario is, for one, we're not going to retrieve those billion sales transactions. We're going to limit it to just the sales transactions for that 6 month time period. And let's say that brings it down to 10 million. And now I only want sales for a particular product line. And so now let's say that brings it down to 1 million. And so now I have 1 million sales transactions, which now need to be aggregated by unique customer IDs. And so let's say each customer on average bought 2 products. So now that million aggregated by those customer IDs is going to get reduced to 500,000. So the amount of data that I then have to transfer from that source is just 500,000. So we're talking about transferring just 500,000 rows of data versus a billion plus the 10 million, then that has a significant impact on performance. So once I explain things that way and they, you know, people who are technically inclined kind of see the way that we're able to minimize how much data is transferred across network. Again, a lot of performance impact comes with the transfer of data across networks. So what Denodo aims to do is to minimize how much data has to be transferred. And that's why we're able to achieve performance, which is on par within the same order of magnitude as if all the data existed within one physical source. So that's the way I typically address this misconception.
Great example there, Chris. So thank you for sharing that. We've discussed a lot about the common misperceptions surrounding the topic of data virtualization. But how do these misperceptions hinder the adoption of data virtualization? And what steps can organizations take to overcome resistance and embrace this technology more effectively?
Sure. So where this happens is that, for one, a lot of people, they just assume that these are true. So they don't go any further in exploring it. So that's why it's important to do podcasts such as this. So I thank you for this opportunity to speak on this, doing blogs and, you know, interacting in the tech community and LinkedIn and so on and so forth. We're help to clear up a lot of those misperceptions. And so once we kind of get over those initial hurdles, then once we kind of get in the door and people give it a serious look, that's where my role as a sales engineer comes in. It typically starts with doing a product demonstration. And so they see how that works. But it's using a sample data set. So, you know, it may help to turn on some light bulbs and clear up some misperceptions, but they typically want to see it work in their environment on their data. And so part of my role as a sales engineer is to lead proof of concept. You know, so now you're seeing this technology work in your environment as you understand your challenges and data volumes. And so now once they see that and work it in their environment, then the product pretty much sells itself at that point. So I think that's why it's important to. So the way you get over these misperceptions is to simply try it. And once they see that the product does exactly what it says it does and does it very effectively,
your team can work their magic and, like, you know, take them through the product and demos, and they actually get to see what Denodo is all about. And it definitely helps clarify things for sure.
Exactly. We just need to get in the door and then we'll close it from there.
So just one final question related to this. So is it possible to share a use case or a case study where a potential customer had queries related to these misperceptions in the beginning, but the sales engineering team helped clarify and convert them to a Denodo customer?
Sure. You know, as I mentioned, I've been with Denodo 7 years. I've worked with a large number of customer prospects in a variety of different industries. You know, one that comes to mind because it's fairly recent is I was working with a university where they had student data in a variety of different sources. You know, they have many touch points of interacting with students. So they had some data in Salesforce and in a lot of different databases. And so the way that they typically dealt with that was to do a lot of manual processes and ETL processes, which introduce a lot of anomalies in the data. And so they just had a very inefficient way of processing that student data. So what they wanted was, you know, we call it, you know, a 360 degree view of a student, of integrating student data, which was in like 5 or 6 different sources. And so they leveraged Denodo to integrate that data. And then that data can then be consumed using their reporting tools. So you get the student registration and admission data or financial aid data and things of that nature. So that was that one that came to mind because they had a lot of challenges in integrating that data. And so we're able to guide them through the process of creating that 360 degree view of a student.
Because, like with universities, they would have so much data in store from years and years of, you know, student information, and to kind of get access to huge amounts of data and convert them into a very easily accessible view, like the one you mentioned, like a 360 view of student profiles and any other information that they would need to access, that definitely puts it into perspective that how Denodo can help companies manage huge amounts of data and how data virtualization comes in here. So thank you so much, Chris. It was really wonderful talking to you today, and thank you for discussing and debunking the various misperceptions around data virtualization for our listeners. So one last thing before we wrap up, we usually do a very short Q&A round. So are you ready to begin?
Sure.
Awesome. So my first question for you is, if you could have dinner with any historical or a fictional character, who would it be and why?
This one is actually pretty easy for me. And it's actually a question that my 8-year-old daughter asked me a few weeks ago. She asked a lot of deep, a lot of deep questions for an 8-year-old. And so for me, that answer is, you know, the late great reggae singer, Bob Marley. And he is from the same rural St. Anne community in St. Anne, Jamaica, that I'm from. And so when I see someone coming from very humble beginnings and taking this music, reggae music, which I call the music of the world, and taking it across the whole world, music that was created in very poor rural conditions and expanding it, you know, where it's literally played on every planet, in every single country across the world. And also what he's done for Jamaica. You know, I'm very proud to be a Jamaican. And, you know, to see, if you look at a map or a globe and you see Jamaica as just a small dot south of Florida, and we've had a very large impact on the world. And so a lot of that comes from the impact of Bob Marley. So it's someone that I really admire. He was alive when I was still living in Jamaica. So it brings back a lot of memories. So that's a very easy one to me. I'm a huge Bob Marley fan, as you can tell.
That's a great, great answer. What is your favorite way to unwind and relax during the weekend or during holidays?
I'm big on family. My wife and I have an 8-year-old daughter who I mentioned. So, you know, she's active in a lot of stuff in music and sports and so on and so forth. You know, last summer she had a piano recital at the world famous Carnegie Hall. And then a month after that, she was competing in the National Junior Olympics in track and field. So she's very active in a lot of stuff. So going to all her different activities and just spending time together, you know, is the best for us. You know, we can either be at home or on the road or traveling someplace, but as long as I'm with family doing something, that's when I'm my absolute happiest. So that's how I unwind as much as possible.
Good, wonderful answer there, Chris. Thank you so much for this amazing session. And thank you so much for joining us again on the Denodo Data Bytes show.
Thank you, Neha. It's been a great engaging conversation. So I would just like to invite anyone who would like to further explore Denodo to visit our website at denodo.com. There's a link that says Try Denodo, and it gives you a few different options by which you can explore the platform yourself by downloading it on your system or spinning up a cloud instance and exploring it that way. So that would be a recommended next step.
And a quick message to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.